a brand new song. Amazing grace, Christ Jesus saved the dead that I could never pay. Yes, He paid a debt He did not owe, and I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away, and now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Oh, and now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace, never pay. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away, and now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Oh, He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash. brand new song. Amazing grace. Paid a debt that I could never pay.
He paid a debt.
He did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace.
Christ Jesus
paid a debt that I could never pay. Him and my mouth.
our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you.
Appreciate a wonderful place that we can come and feel His Spirit. We can feel it freely flowing. You know, sometimes I marvel at how things can sneak up in our lives and blind us from what we really need to see. And in my own life, you know, I know I'm cognizant of that there's pride in my life, but not really to the extent until God allows me to see how much there really is. And you know, it's not in some ways, you know, I maybe put on a good show of being humble in this way, but in my heart, you know, I felt for so long like that smoking flax or that bruised reed, that I was just dry. I mean, you know, I'm understanding. I have enough of the understanding to know I need to continually be here, and even in that, I've slacked off, haven't been as faithful as I have been in the past, and then I keep looking at God, saying, Lord, well, why won't you help me? Why won't you bless me, Lord? Why won't you give me some of your Spirit? You know, I told Jennifer recently, you know, yeah, I can read in the Word, but it's drying me out. I've got to have some of that Spirit. And I know we've heard before, you know, you can never have too much of the Word, but you can have too little of the Spirit. And you can't ever have too much of the Spirit, but you can have too little of the Word. It's got to be that good balance of both to help you in your walk. And honestly, it had been such a long time since I really had yielded myself to God's Spirit. Because, you know, I know what I need to do. But it's one of those things where I personally had let pride get a stronghold and just hold on, because, you know, I tend to be I don't know how many people really know this, but other than my family, but I actually tend to be a very sensitive person when it comes to my feelings, and I'm a lot like my mom in that, and because I'm a man, early on in my life, that was very irritating, and that was very frustrating as a young child. You know, you're taught you need to be strong, and you don't need to, you know, don't cry, don't do that. You know, you're a man. You know, it's all right, toughen up. And I remember when I was, I was probably 11 years old, and I mean, at the drop of the hat, I would tear up. You know, my father never had to spank me, or my mother. If they looked at me a certain way, I would break down in tears. It was just the way I was. Well, I remember praying to God one night, Lord, I said, and you need to watch what you pray for. I said, Lord, I'm so tired of being this sensitive. I don't want to cry. Do you know for almost 2 years' time that I couldn't cry? I could not break down. And I mean, and that's wrong. That's bad. You need that outlet. You need to be able to really cleanse yourself of things that bother you, and I could not. Finally, God, you know, dealt with me, and I repented for that. I never have been as sensitive as I was as a child, but I realize now how easily I get back in that. I know, you know, it's pride, because see, what in my mind, I'll just go into my mind a little bit tonight. I think, well, you know what? I don't see so-and-so doing that. They seem to be quite spiritual, you know, and they have a good relationship with God. What am I doing? I'm judging by the eyes. I don't really know anything about their spiritual outlook with God. Only God knows that. But I start judging with the eyes, and I think, well, you know, maybe, you know, I don't see them doing so and so. I don't see them coming up and getting prayed for a lot. So I don't need to do that either, because that means I'm not spiritual. Now, this is me talking. I'm confessing my sins right now before my brothers and sisters. I'm letting you see a little bit into my life, what I do. Maybe it will help someone else. Maybe someone else, hopefully they're not like me, but maybe someone else will just get something out of this. But that's what I do. And so what I start saying is I say, nope, I don't need to go up there. I need to be strong. I need to be strong. I can do this. I'm strong in God. I'm fine. I don't have to get a blessing right now. I'm okay. I haven't done anything major. I haven't sinned majorly. Whereas, you know, day by day, just this world is heavy on you. The things you go through, your day-to-day life, whether it be your job, your family life, finances, just the cares of this life weighing down upon you. And I know what I need. But I'm like that stupid horse that you can take him to church, but he won't drink the water. Well, I'm tired of that. Because I'm different. I may not be like so-and-so. I'm a different person. God's not trying to stamp every one of us out in a similar mold. Not like that. We need to mature in him, but we're all different. We're all different. I'm different. I may need to come up here every night. I may need to reach out. I may need more of that water flowing in my life. If that be so, God grant it. And thank the Lord I can be in this place where the Spirit can flow freely. Where if I need that drink, I can come up here and say, you know what? Hey, I'm a drinker. I'm an alcoholic. But it's okay. There's no hangover in here. The hangover is being blessed of God, is feeling his wonderful spirit, is feeling closer to him instead of feeling like I'm a million miles away from him. So I wanted to get up here and say, thank God. Thank God for my family. Thank God for my church, who whenever the knees are feeble, who whenever my hands hang low, they're there. They're there to strengthen. And that's the love of God right there. We can talk about it all day long, but that's how we get it across to our brothers and sisters. And it was gotten across to me tonight. And let me tell you, I needed that. I needed that little strengthening. How ironic in my life that I'm coming upon, and you know, I'm a big one on dates. I'm the romantic from that aspect in my marriage. I remember, you know, April 8th of 2001, that's whenever I first started talking to Jennifer. You know, I remember those type of things. Yes, I'm like my mom. And it's coming upon my 10th year of having, when I came back and rededicated my life, March 6th of 2000. And it's, you know, getting close to March, and it'll be 10 years. It's amazing how fast time flies. You know, when I came in here, Satali, it was white hair, but not like this white hair. And I had more of it too. But coming upon that momentous landmark in my life, coming back, having been back in church 10 years, to have the thoughts going through my mind that had been going through my mind, to have the thoughts of, you know what? I'm done. I'm tired. I can't make it another step. I'm playing. I'm not really there. But thank God. Thank God the scriptures are true. That he doesn't say, oh, well, there's a little ember there. Let me flick it out. He says, let me blow on it softly. Let me see if there's any bit of a fire that I can ignite there. Let me see if I can get something going again in that soul. He doesn't forget us in our times that we're low. He is right there with us. He is carrying us like the Footprints poem. Whenever I couldn't walk, Brother Daniels, God scooped me up and said, it's all right, son. I've got you in my arms. You just lay back in my comfort. You lay back in my arms. You let me comfort your soul when you're hurting. And you know what? Thank God. I appreciate being able to be humbled. You know, it's because I know that the pride that gets in my heart keeps me from him. It makes me think, I can do it. I'm strong enough. I can be the person that people want me to be. But you know what? I can't. I can't. I don't have the strength. I'm sorry. If anyone else in here can, I'm glad that that's your position. But I can't, because I need God. I need God to help me. I need Him to lift me up. It's not my own strength. It's not anything I do. If all I do is just lay my carcass on that altar and say, God, here I am. That's all I can do, Lord. I can only lay myself up. You, Lord, are going to have to help me with the rest. If it's the breath I breathe, it's from God. Therefore, nothing in me. Nothing. It's not my own strength that helps me. It's my God. It's my Savior. And I just wanted to get up here and say, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I'm telling you, it's not like we haven't had great services. It's not like the Spirit hasn't fallen. But it's just been this one right here that has said, well, yeah, there's a river flowing out there, but I don't want to get my feet wet because I might look weak. Well, you know what? I am. I am weak, and I need God. I need God. Is that a surprise to anybody? We need God. I mean, come on. But that's that carnal nature. That's that carnal nature. Nope, you're good. You're fine. You're strong. Come on, let me see them flex. Thank God. Thank God that he has enough patience to say, when you're done running from me and when you want to drink, it's right here. It's right here so that way you can get the strength you need. Well, like I said, I just wanted to get up and openly repent to my brothers and sisters and say, when you see me, if you see me lagging back, grab my arm and say, come on, brother, let's wade on out in the water. Come on, let's take a bath. Let's get in there. Let's swim a little bit because I need that. I need that, and I need each and every one of you. When I had Brother Daniels and Brother Matt holding me right there, let me tell you the strength I felt. Oh, God, I've needed that strength. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. You don't know how much I just want to say. Oh. Hey, Brother Painter, it's wonderful Wednesday, man. My wife prophesied. She said, Wednesday is going to be a great service for you. I had to make sure it was. You know, because no one knew to come back there. Come on, idiot. Go. Come on. Let me thump you down in the water. I had to make that long. Why when I was on usher duty? You know, why? I couldn't be right here. No, that is a long walk. Anyway, I appreciate being here. I'm so thankful for all of you. And I just want y'all to know I love y'all very much.
Praise the Lord.
I don't want to go up there because I don't want people to think that I'm weak, you know, that I, you know, but, you know, I guess I'm confessing that I am weaker than a lot of you guys, and I need, you know, to go more, but, you know, lately I haven't had to go up there. I just go in with the others, and their spirit rubs on me, and lo and behold, I just want to tell you, Brother Smith, that look at my knee. I've slept 3 nights. I mean, oh, my God, we had such a outstanding service. Whoever wasn't here Sunday, day and night both. I wish we had more like those. And I mean, it's like, oh, I just can't. It's so overwhelming. I'm able to sleep. I've slept 3 nights. You know. Now, I know here comes a little doubtful thing saying, okay, you don't have no cartilages. How can God put them on there? Well, He can because He raised the dead. So why can't He do that for me? But yesterday I got a call, and today I got a call to different people from Social Security. And I thought later, after I've hung up, well, I even told Sister Joyce Sunday night, I go, why did they give me the money and I don't need it? You know, but then thoughts come to my mind, well, I'm not completely healed. I still have problems with my shoulders. I need surgery in both. I need surgery in my back. So, you know, maybe I need that money so I can go get that done if God doesn't touch me. But I'm giving God first. You know, what do you call it? Before the doctors. I don't want the knife. I really don't. But I am I've told, oh God, let me see, Monday, Tuesday, there's this three, no, today I didn't go nowhere, but Monday and Tuesday I've told like 12 people, I mean, even strangers, I just wanted to brag on God. I said, he did this, nobody did this, and I didn't even go and ask him. That's what was so amazing, you know. He knows what I need. He knew that I needed my sleep, and, you know, because my knees like this, my legs like that, and I don't have that special pillow that people use, you know, to put their leg like that, but I'm going to get one if I, well, I don't know if I need it now. I don't need it, but anyways, I am just so thrilled. I'm so thrilled that he did this for me. He didn't have to do that. And just like, you know, tonight, even though he's been my son 34 years, I didn't know that he was that way about dates. You know, I remember all dates, every date that, especially in my life, you know, like when my husband asked me to be his girlfriend, when he asked me to marry him, when I got the Holy Ghost, when, you know, all my, everybody. And just, I'm just a date person, you know. But sometimes I don't remember my name. But I'm just so, so thankful. And I keep thanking him every time I pray, every day when I'm praying, before I read my Bible, and even after I read the Bible and so forth. I say, Lord, I thank you for the touch. You know, I can't bring myself, and I don't know if I'm wrong, Brother Smith, I say thank you for the healing, because I'm scared that maybe next week I'm going to be, you know, not be able to walk, you know, like I have to use my cane, and then my feeling comes back, you know. But please help me. I don't know. I'm asking God, just God, if you did, you know, I appreciate you, but, you know, get these doubts out of my mind. But I know I appreciate that touch. You touched me. I know without a doubt he did. I wouldn't have been able to dance all over that floor Sunday day and night too, both, I guess. But I done ordered those DVDs. I'm going to watch them again and probably have my own service at home. And I just want to just get up and say that I appreciate each one of y'all here tonight. And every service is important. I don't care if it doesn't have to be Sunday, but even Wednesday. I don't like to, you know, if I'm sick or tired or whatever, I don't want to stay home because I don't know what I'm going to miss. So I always miss something. It never fails. And so I just want to let God know that I appreciate him, appreciate the Spirit, my Holy Ghost, for giving me a vision of the body of Christ, and appreciate all you ministers up there for everything y'all get up and give us those nuggets that we need. Every one of y'all have touched my life and helped me in one way or another.
Rubbing it in. But we didn't miss because we wanted to. But I tell you, I was like a lion in a cage. I just walked the floors and finally just went in the kitchen, just started cooking. Then eating. But really and truly, I tell you, I hate to miss church because church is certainly my life. I like to eat, and when time comes to eat, you don't have to worry about it. I'm going to be there and get my part. And that's the way I am about church. Y'all know that we don't miss very many services, and we have to really have an excuse to miss, because I just think that I have to go. Well, I know I got to go to church to make it. And anyway, we thought about it, but it was just slick as it could be. And normally, when weather like this, we do not miss church. We've got some concrete blocks that we put in the back end of our pickup truck, and here we come. But Harlan was just not able. There was all, we got them stored out the back of our property, and he wasn't in no shape to go get them, and neither was I. So anyway, we, if that's a good enough excuse, well, that's the reason. It was just so bad. I called Brother Smith, and he said, I think it'll be all right for y'all just not to come. So that was the answer. But anyway, I was thinking, well, they're doing this and they're doing that and they're singing right now and they're testifying. And, of course, I didn't know that y'all had all the company. But anyway, I'm glad that you had a real good service, and I know that it's lifted everyone up, because I remember years ago that we had so much company back then that Brother Tucker told us, said, we're having so much company, I don't have time to whip the kids. So, of course, we was kind of glad of that a little bit, you know. But anyway, it was so good to have the ministers to come by and to bless us. And we just stayed on cloud nine, and that was a wonderful experience. And so it's good that y'all had company. But we're going to get the DVDs, and we're going to sit back in our easy chair, and we're going to enjoy it. But so God is so good to us, and I'm glad that y'all had company, and I know that we deserve that once in a while, and to be more often would be wonderful, but the Lord knows what we need. So it's good to be here tonight. I'll tell you what, I could not hardly wait till service time come, not just to have somewhere to go. Like I told Brother Smith, said, people think whenever you get old, well, you're just glad to get to go somewhere just to get away from the house. But that's not our case, because you know, sometimes it's kind of good to stay home. You know, something say, well, you know, just stay home tonight and take care of yourself. But I don't go for stuff like that, because I know I can't make it like that. But anyway, it's good to be in service, and I'm glad that I never get tired of coming to church. I'm always willing and ready to come, because we sat out here a long time before anybody even come tonight. So you can see we was anxious to get here, or we would have been dragging in late, but we didn't. So anyway, I'm thankful to be here, and I'm glad for what the Lord is doing for us. And I'll tell you what, I don't see how people live without the Lord. I just don't see how, because, you know, we can take our burdens to the Lord. We can talk to Him about the things that we need to talk to Him about, and we can feel His Spirit. We can feel the confidence and the trust that we have in the Lord, and that's a wonderful thing. And I'm so glad that I know the Lord, but I want to know Him better. And in fact, I want to know Him better, and I want to be just like Him. So I'm glad that we're in a place and under ministry that we can get the desires of our soul, that we can be like the Lord. So tonight I appreciate Him, and I thank Him for what He's doing for us, and my desire is to go all the way. So I desire your prayers.
I was thinking, I think it was last Wednesday when Brother Smith talked on Psalms 34, and I thought that richly, richly blessed me. And I've been pondering on that all week and talking to the Lord and asking the Lord to help me get those things in my heart down deep and help me to, you know, have this so second nature to me. And like I said, I've been pondering those things, and today I had a reality check, and I cleaned a house this morning, and you know, going on about my merry way, and I come get off work, and I come home, and I stop at the mailbox, and lo and behold, in the mailbox was an AARP card with my name on it. I thought, oh, I could not believe this. And so I've joked and teased everybody for all these years about this, and now it's my turn. So I thought, I began to ponder that. Brother Smith, I thought, what have I done with these years that the Lord gave me? But instead of thinking, woe is me, I'm going to be 50 years old, I began to praise God and thank Him that at a very young age, He gave me this hope. He gave me this chance to serve Him. And what I do with it is up to me. And I was sitting down thinking, Lord, what have I done? What have I done with this time that you've given me? And I could count. I began to count. I could count 20 people that the Lord has allowed me to influence and to point this way, to bring amongst his people. 9 directly and the rest of them indirectly, whether it be their children or whatever. And so I'm thankful for that part. But then I begin to think, Lord, how many have I caused to stumble that I'm not aware of? And I don't want to be that. I want to be very careful. I want to come humbly before the Lord and ask him to help me to count my steps and to walk with him and stay on this path for the rest of the years. And when it's all said and done, to be able to give account to the Lord of what I've done with my life. And like Sister Crow, you know, I'd hope that my life could be that precious, that sweet. And I was thinking Monday I had an experience, because, you know, you never know what the Lord's going to do or how he's going to bring something your way. And I thought, I shared this testimony with y'all before one time, just out of the blue, a young man come to my door selling vacuum cleaners. And long story short, I was able to talk to the young man about God. Next thing you know, he came into the church and has been there. But out of all those 20 people, only 4, can I count, is still serving God. And that I can't do anything about. But I would still like to think that I could point somebody my way. And like I said, lo and behold, Monday, I was going about my business, and Tommy had laid down the afternoon to take a nap, and I got a knock at the door, and it was a young man. And this young man, he looked so pitiful, and he had a, you know, kind of longer hair and stuff, and the few teeth that he had was very broken up and very, like, just rotting out of his mouth. And he was only in his, like, mid-20s, you could tell. And so I don't know if it was drugs or what the case was, but nonetheless, the young man began to talk to me about he was wanting to sell some meat. And so he started talking to me and talked for a while. And just, I thought of Brother Gore's testimony, you know, about the dog and the chain. And I thought, Lord, there was a time in my life when you jerked my chain, you know, when you brought me this way. Oh, and I'd like to be an influence the rest of how many ever days I have left on this earth. I'd like to be an influence to somebody. And I thought, instantly, I thought, be kind to this young man, because you don't know if God sent this man your way. And so he started talking. Well, I began to tell him very gently. I said, well, my husband's asleep right now. You'll need to come back and everything. And honestly, I could feel the Holy Ghost. I could just feel the Holy Ghost. And I'm quick to try and find, God, are you in this situation? Are you in that situation? And so I asked that young man, I told him, I said, well, you'll need to come back. And so he started talking to me. And I gave him, you know, of course, my phone number, and told him, I said, you'll need to, you know, call me again. And he said, I will call you again. And he said, and if I cannot contact you, he said, I promise you, I'll be back. And he wasn't pushy or anything. He was just letting me know that this young man, I don't know if it was the economy, I don't know what the case was, but this was what this young man was trying to do. And that's perfectly fine with me. And I thought, oh God, I've been praying and praying. Oh God, give me wisdom. When this young man contacts me again, let this young man see something in my life. Give me enough wisdom to deal with this young man that I could show him what you were so gracious to show me when I was just 18, when I was undone. And I was, later in the day, I was talking to my son Luke, and I was telling him about the situation. And I said, Luke, you know, it's just by the grace of God. The only difference between me and the worst meth addict or streetwalker out here is just a choice, just simply a choice. And thank God that I made a choice when I was 18 to come and to serve him. And I just am so thankful. Like I've said so many times, I wish that I could tell everybody, you know, what I have been privileged to hear. And I hope that I can show something to this young man when I meet up with him again. But I wish you all, that's a prayer request. I wish you all would pray for me that this young man, I really feel strongly he's going to cross my path again. And So help me pray that if there's something in this young man's life that God can turn around and use in his kingdom. Help me have some kind of whatever small, minute little thing it is. Let me have some kind of influence over this young man's life. But I just wanted to say how appreciative I was also, like Sister Crow said, the weekend service, and even all the way back to last Wednesday, I just pondered this over and over in my heart. I'm just like Sister Linda. When I hear something so beautiful and so precious, especially as Brother Gore's testimony, I can't wait to share it. This is my life. This is, you know, this, if somebody could just get this in the heart and just hear those things. And, you know, this is just a great way. And I just don't ever want to fail to not tell God how much I appreciate it. You know, so I just have a thankfulness in my heart, and I just feel the sweetest spirit in here, and I'm so thankful.
I'm pleased to be here tonight. Thankful for the Lord's grace on my life. Thankful for the house of God. Place to come on a Wednesday night and be liberated from the cares of the world. You know, when we lived in Springdale, Brother Main's church, there was a row of bushes, much like the church here, and I beg your pardon, they were off the side, but we'd pass by those bushes on our way in, and we had, figuratively speaking, cast our cares off in those bushes, and so we didn't have to deal with it in church. You know, whatever problems we have and whatever hang-ups in life that set us back, they're going to be there, and we carry them around. But here's a place where you can just turn them loose. You know, we've heard that story about the guy that, you know, carried the cross, and he didn't like his cross, and he asked the Lord for a different cross, and he said, well, put your cross in this room and feel free to look around, and if you find one that better suits you, then, you know, you're welcome to take it home with you. And so, you know, the story goes, he looked around, and there was big giant crosses, and he looked, and, you know, it's kind of like he just looked, and he looked, and he looked, and finally come back around, and it looked, you know, it wasn't as big as all the other ones. He said, I want that one. And he picks it up and you know, realizes it's the one he set down. And so the one he started with. And our crosses that we bear, they seem insurmountable. The troubles and trials in our lives seem difficult to overcome. But we have an advantage that God has given us, in that he has made us a promise that we can be an overcomer in him. And so I rest in that. I try to rest in that, I should say. I don't always. My heart rate gets up. My anxiety overcomes me sometimes. The sweat starts forming on my brow. I get nervous about things in my life, but I know that God is in control, and I have to remind myself of that. I have to be aware that God is in control. The Bible says that he has all power in heaven and earth. And so he's a great God, isn't he? And I'm not, as one that Paul said, that beats the air. I'm not fighting something, just some sort of mystical evil or mystical trial out here. I know that I'm wrestling with the flesh. I realize that. I'm wrestling with this old carnal nature that I was born with. And so I'm working on that, but I want you to know that I also can rest in the Lord and know that he'll help me, that it's not just a battle that I have to fight on my own. The Bible says that he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. And so we know that he's a man. Jesus Christ was a man that walked in shoe leather. He was a man that endured the temptations of the flesh. He was a man that understands the inner workings of the carnal mind and the deceitfulness of it all. He's a man that understands our trials and our tests. And so because he understands those things, he's our advocate. He knows how to go to the Father for us and plead our case and make intercession for us, thank God. And he gave us a great gift, didn't he? That gift of the Holy Ghost. And through that wonderful Holy Ghost, the Lord can help comfort us and bring peace and love and joy, even in the midst of a trial, even in the midst of a dark situation. The Lord will bring peace in our life. And so we're a blessed people, aren't we? We are a blessed people to have been led this way and have made that choice. And you know, the two boys that I ran around with as a young person when God was dealing with my life, they're both dead and had wasted lives. But I know that, you know, if God hadn't taken the time to provoke my heart to love and good works, that I'd have been just like them. I'd have been like a vessel drifting in the sea without an anchor or sail. I wouldn't have had any direction or purpose in my life, but God, in his great mercy, thank God, he stopped one day and stopped me in my tracks, and he brought a halt in my going, if you will, and he showed me that there's a better way. And I've seen people go by the wayside, and I've seen people lose out with God, but my heart's desire has been for a long time that God would keep a tenderness in my heart. Keep a tenderness in my heart, Lord. Don't let a root of bitterness rise up and take root and overcome me, but keep a tenderness, even in the midst of confusion or uncertainty. Lord, keep a tenderness in my heart. Let there be a love, that working of charity in my heart, so that I could treat the Lord right, and that I could treat my brothers and sisters right, that I can even treat my enemies right. And you know, as I get older and take on more responsibilities and you know, as on a job, whether sometimes on a job, you know, you're working for the man, and sometimes you are the man, and sometimes those decisions can hurt you, and sometimes you have to hurt others with your decisions. And anybody who's ever worked in those, you know, had any oversight over people, you can, you know, your words, just a little word can hurt somebody's productivity, or can affect their, just a little word can affect their morale, if you will. And so it's a tight walk, you know, that you have to walk when you have responsibilities, but even more so, you don't know who's watching you. You don't know who's keeping an eye on you. And I learned the other day that there's a backslid Pentecostal boy working on my job. He's been there for over a year, and I never knew nothing about it. But his dad was a UPC preacher, and he's got a story to tell. Someone said the other day, he started quoting Bible scripture to me, which was from him was about as foreign as, you know, it was strange hearing him quote Bible scripture to him. I said, no. I said, you don't need to be doing that. He said, oh yeah. He said, I can quote it from the back. He was going on, and I said, now listen, you're going to mess yourself up. I said, because I'll start praying for you, and God will start dealing with your case. And he, you know, I was teasing with him, but I mean it though. He doesn't know what I know, that God can just in a moment, as Brother Gore said, it doesn't matter where you are, that God can speak to you and touch your heart and your mind and bring a change in you, and you know, put a stumble.